samatha and vipassana. So these being the Buddhist meditation approaches. But in order to attain enlightenment, we understand that we need to cultivate insight, wisdom, meditation. But before we can cultivate insight, wisdom, meditation, sometimes meditators may not know the difference between samatha and vipassana. So Brother Teo here tonight would share with us his knowledge and show us the difference between these two and how they should be cultivated, and eventually the cultivation of insight, wisdom. That is only the way to realize Nibbana, to put an end of suffering. So without taking more time, as usual, we'll take refuge and observe the precepts, all right? Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So it has been almost, I think, 1 month plus since the last time I came. So tonight's topic is on meditation. I think Brother Gan emailed me, WhatsApp me. I think email, email me. He said, can try this title, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana, or meditation. So he said, he leave it to me to choose whatever topic I want to speak. I find that this topic is interesting because it is a very commonly misunderstood topic. So people tend to have this argument about what type of meditation should you do. So you heard of these two, right? Samatha and
vipassana. What is your understanding? What is samatha meditation? Yeah. Try, never mind, just try. We are here to discuss the topic so that you really understand. What does the word samatha imply? Concentration. Most of you will understand as concentration meditation, which is not wrong. So samatha meditation or bhavana. This word bhavana, I think most of you understood. This is a Pali word. We heard of this three word. Sila, samadhi, and panya. Then this one actually is subdivided into Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path. Then we have what they call the other three. Dana, Sila, and Bhavana. You heard of this, yeah? Sila is morality. Here samadhi is actually a category of power factor by itself. Then panya is of course wisdom. Wisdom. We need to know this category, then this category, then only we can go into the meditation why they classify it this way. So dana here means what? Generosity, okay, or what they call dana parami. You must have certain amount of generosity so that you have good merits, so that you have good what they call karmic inheritance. So the Buddha recommend, in order to develop the meditation, you not only focus on the meditation, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. So this is a meditation as taught by the Buddha. Okay. And this one, the Buddha also call it bhavana. Bhavana. So bhavana is actually meditation. Any type of mental training, they call it bhavana. So if you look at here, sila is still the same in there. Still the same in there. But these two has been combined. Understood? To become bhavana. Understand? So bhavana is meditation. It's a combination of samadhi and panya. Because as far as the Buddha is concerned, he is only interested in wisdom. Understand? The panya aspect. So samadhi alone, without wisdom, is of not much use. It cannot free the mind. It cannot liberate the mind. It can make the mind very powerful in deep concentration or deep absorption. That's why samatha meditation is very different from vipassana meditation. So from the word, we will try to derive the definition. So bhavana is meditation or mental training. So you heard of this word metta bhavana, is it? What is this? Metta bhavana. What does it mean? Means you are cultivating what? A type of meditation that leads to the cultivation of metta. That's why you call it metta bhavana. So you normally call it loving kindness meditation. Okay? Meditation. So this type of meditation develops metta. So when we talk about samatha bhavana, means what? A meditation that develops what? You may define as concentration, but the Buddha actually defined as samadhi. Understand? Samadhi means only this particular aspect. Samadhi. Whatever you do with the mind to develop samadhi is called samatha bhavana. Understand? Huh? Yeah. And what is samadhi? What is samadhi? You all normally define as concentration. Huh? But the Buddha didn't really say it's concentration. Yeah. That's why under Noble Eightfold Path, you have the eight path factor. Remember? The first one is samadhiti. Samadhiti, which is right view or right understanding. Okay? Then you got right. What else? Right thought. Okay? Then? Right speech. Right action. Then? Right living. Some they call it livelihood. But it's actually living. Living covers livelihood. Then you have right effort. The four type of right effort. Then? Right sati. Or samasati. Then the last one is right samadhi. Okay? So normally they classify these two as under samadhi. Okay? Path factor. Samadhi, path. Factors. So these two is samadhi. These three. Is actually under sila. Understand? Actually, four, sorry. The way you live your life also is part of sila. Then this right effort is definitely something to do with your mind. The viryapan. Viryapan. Then when it develops wisdom, you straighten your views. So this one is panya. Okay? So when wisdom develops, you will have right views or right understanding. Means you really develop the understanding of what they call right understanding of all the laws that governs life and existence. So all the laws, nature's law that governs life and existence. Constitute right view, as I know. And the most important spiritual right views are three. You heard of the law of karma, karma niyama, law of the mind, chitta niyama, then law of dhamma, all of truth. The other two laws are scientific, physical law, and what they call biological laws. They call utu niyama and bija niyama. So that one, as far as the spiritual training is concerned, we are not really, really interested in. We are more interested in the spiritual law. So coming back to these two, the Buddha classified sati and samadhi as samadhi. This part. So samadhi here means whatever training of mind that brings about a very stable mind, understand that? Unification of mind. So that you are not heedless, you are not distracted, so that you are not lost in thought. So that this mind is unified, understand, collected, and unwavering. So samadhi here means unified mind. Leading to the collectedness of mind. Collectedness and unwavering.
mind. So
this is what samadhi is. So in the text, you all heard of three types of samadhi, right? What are the three types? You all do so much of this meditation, isn't it? Yeah. What are the three types of samadhi that you heard of? First one is what? Kanika samadhi. Heard of this word? Kanika samadhi. Yeah? So the first type is Kanika samadhi. What is this? You all always call it momentary, yeah? Concentration. Actually, it's not the correct word. It should be moment to moment. Yeah? Moment to moment, yeah? Awareness. It's not momentary. You understand the difference between momentary and moment to moment. Momentary means temporary. Understand? Just for the moment only, I aware. Understand? And that one is not Kanika. Kanika is moment to moment you can develop the awareness. The silent mind, sati, or mindfulness. So moment to moment awareness is actually moment to moment mindfulness. So this first type can follow. Then the second one is what? What is the second one? Upachara samadhi. Heard of this? Upachara samadhi. What is this samadhi? Yeah? The mind become more stable. Then it reaches what? It reaches upachara samadhi means what? No. That one is the third one. You haven't heard of upachara. The five jhanic factor, you heard of this five jhanic factor? Vitaka? Vichara, what is vichara? Then, piti, sukha, and ekagata. This one is one-pointedness. Asana. These are the jhanic factors. The five jhanic factors. Those who do jhana, they will have this. Asana. This is what is vitaka? Yes. Initial application of thought. Or applied thought. Initial application of thought. So this one is applied thought. Initially, you try to apply your thought there. And so those who do concentration, they will have to do that. And there are a lot of what they call objects of meditation that can develop samatha meditation. And their object of meditation can be different from vipassana bhavana. Samatha one is towards focusing, concentration. Absorption. So the object that they use can have different forms. So the Buddha during that time, when he has not realized enlightenment, he actually was cultivating among the tradition at that time in India. So in India, samatha bhavana was very common. Before the Buddha came, there was no such thing as vipassana meditation as yet. It was all samatha. Means they are very interested in developing the concentration of mind, the unification of mind leading to all the absorption, the jhanas and the one-pointedness of mind. So samatha, they use 40 type of meditation object that they call, what they call object of concentration. The 40 types. of samatha meditation object. Meditation object. So this 40 type of meditation object are very popular during the time in India before the Buddha actually comes about. So within this 40 meditation object, they have this what they call most popular one is called kasinas. You heard of kasina? What are kasinas? In Thai they call kasin. They can't see. Can see now. See, kasinas are the various type of light kasina and the four elements kasina. Understand? So when you talk about kasina, means the most basic are light. L-I-G-H-T. Light kasina and the four elements. What are the four elements? You have earth element, Pathavi. Then you have heat element, Tejo. Then Apo is water element. Then wind element is Vayu. So Pathavi, Tejo, Apo, and Vayu. So those who do kasinas, those who develop concentration, they will initially choose an object. Okay? Let's say you choose earth kasina or water kasina. Okay? Then you apply your thought, initial application of thought on that water element. Understand? You focus. Then you concentrate. You apply the thought there. You just develop this kasinas. You say, maybe earth element, or water element. You keep on concentrating your mind on that element, or light. Okay? Initial application on that type of light. Some they look at the candle. Okay? Some they look at certain bright light. Some even look at the moon. Or whatever light that they can actually develop. Some they go into meditation, then through the nimitta that arise, they focus on that light, that nimitta light. Then they develop concentration. So initially you apply your thought. Then second one is what? Vichara is what? Sustained thought. Understand not? Sustained thought. But this one is thought-based. Understand not? This one is thought-based. Whereas when it comes to samadhi, after Kanika, the Buddha said there is upachara samadhi. It's not vichara, no. Upachara, no. Understand? Means you sustain your awareness. Understand? Continuous awareness. Understand? So they call this, sometimes they use the word sustain. Or continuous awareness. But because this state of samadhi is just before the third one is called apana samadhi. You heard of apana, isn't it? This one is what just now the uncle said, one-pointedness or absorption concentration. This one is deep concentration. But there is another one, deep absorption, born of continuous mindfulness. So upachara sometimes is also given a name, excess concentration. It's actually not a concentration. It's at the threshold of becoming apana samadhi. Before you go into deep absorption, concentration. There is still awareness, mindfulness. You are still aware. You are not in complete focus, attention. Means one-pointedness or full absorption meditation. This one is the mind sometimes can become unconscious. They go into very deep state of samatha. They call apana bhavana or apana samadhi means they go into very deep state of concentration or calm until like there is no thought. The mind is completely without thought, but it's all locked into energy field through ekagata, one-pointedness. This one is one-pointedness. Yeah? One-pointedness. Yeah. Then this one is spiritual joy, yeah? Pity. Then this one is bliss. Yeah? Bliss. Yeah. As you go through the higher jhanas, you drop them. The first two you drop, you develop the first jhana. You drop these two, you develop the first jhana. Yeah. Then when you drop this, you develop the second jhana. Yeah. Then the third jhana. Then the last one is fourth jhana. Yeah. So all these five jhanic factors in stages, as you develop your higher concentration, you drop them, then it will reach the fourth jhana. Yeah. So the fourth jhana is actually the highest within the form jhana. There are four types of form jhana. Yeah? First, second, third, and fourth. So for those who cultivate this type of concentration, meditation, or what they call samatha bhavana, they cannot actually develop the right samadhi or wisdom to liberate the mind, to become enlightened. So what happens is, after their immediate passing away, if the condition is there, they will take birth in the Brahma realm. You know the Brahma realm? There are 16 Brahma realms. So each of these jhana, there are four realms. But there is, I think, there is certain rhymes within this Brahma rhyme. They call it the pure abbot. Yeah? The pure abbot, sorry. Yeah? You heard of this place? Where the anagami reside. Anasana. Now, they also develop these jhanas. Anasana. Yeah. But they are already anagami. Anasana. They can also take birth there. Okay? Doesn't mean that in the Brahma rhyme, there is no enlightened being. There are enlightened beings. Yeah. So when it comes to upachara samadhi, is sustained awareness. Means this mindfulness is more stable. That's why it has these characteristics of collectedness and unwavering mind. Understand that? Upachara samadhi. Whereas this moment-to-moment kanika samadhi, this mind is not stable enough. It cannot actually give rise to the unwavering mind. It is in a certain way collected, unified, but not stable. Understand? Yeah. That's why a lot of you all, when you do this type of what they call moment-to-moment mindfulness, especially in the retreat, where you use the noting method, anasana. Thought-based noting method. You end up with this, anasana. Anasana. Every time you note, like that moment, you're aware. Then next moment, then next moment. Then you keep on trying to note, anasana. Anasana. Every time you verbalize, you are not aware anymore. Anasana. Yeah. But this one, no verbalization, anasana. You're just aware. That's why this one can become very stable. Understand? And this is what you need to do vipassana. Understand? Upachara samadhi. Kanika samadhi is not stable enough. That's why you have to stabilize this samadhi until it is very, very stable. But you have not entered into apana samadhi. Means you have not lost consciousness or awareness. You do not allow the mind to go into one-pointedness concentration or enter deep state of what they call calmness. Yeah. That's why if you do this in the Mahayana temple, the abbot will come and back, whack you on the side. He said, we have enough statue here already. We don't need another one. But this one also no thought, like a statue. But very calm state. After you come out, your energy field is so strong that all the energy is one-pointedness. Locked inside your whatever object of meditation. That's why after that, they can use it to develop psychic ability, energy field. This one lead to occult and psychic. Yeah. So samatha meditation got this danger. And this is where in the olden days, all of the early meditation, they actually got trapped here. Yeah. Then even after they have finished the fourth jhana, they continue to develop the what they call arupa jhana. You heard of arupa? Formless jhana. The last four, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth jhana. They have this fifth formless jhana of infinite space. Then the sixth one is infinite consciousness, leading to the seventh one, the realm of nothingness. Then the last one, of course, is the highest, and they live very, very long, for many, many kapas, or aeons. And they call that the realm of neither perception or non-perception. Means like the mind doesn't exist. Like you neither perceive or don't perceive. It's so still, so silent, but no cessation. It's still a mind. It's only consciousness, no form. That's why it's the formless realm. So those who do samatha, they will end up in apana samadhi, is because these are very beautiful state, understand? A lot of energy, understand? And a lot of what they call interesting powers, or capability. So because of that, before the Buddha's arrival, apana samadhi was the focus. And everybody who develops this become very, very powerful and very, very reputable. That's why the two teachers that the Buddha learned from, you remember? Udaka and Alara. They are actually the foremost teachers on this meditation at that time. The first one, I think, Udaka, teach the Buddha until the seventh jhana. Then Alara, I think, the last one, teach him until the last of the eight jhanas. But the Buddha realized, with all this deep absorption and concentration, that very still state of mind, he still got a problem. He cannot liberate from birth and death, understand? Old age, sickness and death. So he realized this was not what he wanted. He wanted to understand life. What is that form and mind all about? Who am I? What am I? Yeah. Then who die? What die? If he cannot break free from old age, sickness and death, to him, life has got no meaning. That's why he continued to search. Then he realized he needs to develop what they call sufficient health. That's why he reverted back to some form of food. He never take the austere or what they call very severe type of endurance type of meditation, means austerity. Yeah? They go into deep austerity, means they try not to eat anything or drink anything, even for days. They just want to go into deep meditative state, thinking that the bliss can actually sustain them. Yeah? Then finally they realize the ultimate goal of rebirth up there. So to the teachers, those are like their ultimate, what they call search for eternal life. So to them, they know when they die, they will take birth up there and they will live very long. But later on, the Buddha came to know, without the enlightenment, when you are just in this conditioned state of absorption and concentration, although you take birth up there, after a long period of time, you will fall. then finally you can still go down to hell, Abaya, yeah, Bhumi. So because of that, after he became enlightened, he was able to see. Yeah. Then he tried to help, I think, the Mahabrahma. You remember Mahabrahma? Yeah? I think it's one of the Brahma rhyme. Whereas to him, he thought he was very great. So he can create things or no, Mahabrahma. Then the Buddha went up there and actually tried to advise him. He said, do you know you have fallen from the very high rhyme to this Mahabrahma? And you are very near. Because Mahabrahma is the highest of the first jhana only, I think. If I'm not wrong, right? You go and check. Then he said, not long. If you continue to be heedless like that and display all your psychic and all this ability, you will continue to fall to the human realm. Then if you're not careful, you will go down to the hell realm. Yeah. So that was how the Buddha came to know. And also through his past cultivation and perfection, he realized that this is not the way to liberation of mind, to enlightenment. So what he developed was, he actually came to understand that you only need to develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness. That's why finally when he came out to teach, the Buddha only advised the monk one thing before he passed away. What did he say? Huh? The parinibbana. Huh? Apamadena sampadeta. And what is that? Strive on with heedfulness. That's why his teaching focused on heedfulness. So what is heedfulness? This heedfulness is actually defined under Dhammapada verse 23. That's why under the Appamadavaga means all of the Dhammapada verse on heedfulness. The first three are the most important. Yeah. Verse 21, say what? Yeah? What did the Buddha say? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful are as if the heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, spiritually you are as if dead. There is no meditation. You need to have heedfulness. Yeah. Then Dhammapada verse 21 continue to give you assurance. Yeah. He said, distinctly knowing the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise intend on heedfulness, and they will realize, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas. And what are Aryas? Huh? Aryas are noble ones, isn't it? Enlightened ones. That's why you are destined for enlightenment if you intend on heedfulness. But verse 23 define what heedfulness is. Yeah. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative, and what? Huh? Constantly meditative and? Never study. Ever mindful. Remember this one? Constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. They will realize what? They will realize what? Huh? What would they realize? The bond free? If this one also you do know, very difficult to meditate to become enlightened. Because this is apamada, heedfulness. If you cannot understand this one, how are you going to cultivate? Huh? Well, realize the bond free, how to spell bond? Bond you. Huh? Oh, yeah, sorry. I go and put born. Born free. Nibbana. Nibbana is 1B or 2B? Huh? Never mind, full stop. So, no mistake, huh? What is constantly meditative? Constantly cultivating noble eightfold path, understand? Ever mindful means what? Continuously mindful, understand? Ever mindful. That's why you must have upacara samadhi. Sustained or continuous awareness. Ever mindful. And you hold on to this practice. That's why you have to train your mind, understand? Because this mind that is untrained is heedless, think a lot, wanders off very fast, understand? Why do this mind wander off? Why does it wander off? Eh? Those who came for meditation, they know. Eh? Why is your mind not peaceful? Yeah? Because of what? Mental hindrance, understand? So when you have mental hindrance, means you don't have mental spiritual faculties, understand? What are the five mental hindrance? Huh? Your five mental hindrance is what? So sensual desire and ill will. Huh? Sensual desire and ill will. Yeah? Then, what else? Sloth and torpor. Huh? Then, some more? Sloth and torpor. Restlessness. Last one is doubt. Very good. Eh? Restlessness and doubt. Eh? And doubt. So because of these five, you become heedless. Eh? Because they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why they are called mental hindrance. Understand not? So the Buddha said, when you realize that this is what is happening to you, that's why you need to train this mind until it's no longer heedless. So what must you do? Yeah? You have to cultivate the opposite five there. The opposite five spiritual faculties. Understand not? Because once you have these spiritual faculties cultivated, they will help you overcome the hindrance. Understand not? So this one is what? Sada, Virya, Sati, and what? Huh? The last one is Panya, yes. So you realize the moment you have Sada, which is confident in the Buddha and his teaching, means you are very calm, very composed, and you are very confident. Correct? So when you have Sada, you will overcome doubt. Correct? Correct? Then when you develop Virya, which is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, because you know how important the teaching is, it can bring about enlightenment, liberation of mind from suffering. Then the Buddha is such a unique being. He is fully enlightened, not only enlightened. He is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And to have such a great being as your teacher, you should count your blessing. That's why your faith and confidence in him becomes so stable. Then you arise this Virya. Virya is a type of spiritual energy, zeal, tenacity to cultivate. You will never be sleepy anymore. Understand? Not? So when you have Virya, sloth and torpor cease to be. Correct? Not? So now we cross them out, okay? So this one will go. This one will go, okay? Then sati is what? Mindfulness. When you are mindful, there is no thought, correct or not? No thought means what? No more restlessness. No more problem, understand or not? No more sensual desire, no more ill will. So these three, gone, understand or not? That's why when the spiritual faculty is there, you actually overcome all the hindrance. So you actually need to cultivate these five. And how do you cultivate? That's why the Buddha recommend you to develop the puja, anasana. To develop all the anusati, Buddha anusati, Dhamma anusati, Sangha anusati. Then daily five contemplation, remember? On the Dhamma. So that you develop the faith, You develop the virya, then you cultivate mindfulness through the four foundation of mindfulness. Okay? So that's why this one is very important. Yeah? You have to cultivate sati. Then the moment you develop sati, you are most of the time aware without thought. So when you have the spiritual faculty, technically you no need to train your mind anymore. But the problem is this sati doesn't come by itself, understand? Because you have been so heedless for so long. This hindrance has been there for so long. All of your fear, worry, anxiety create restlessness of mind. That's why this mind is not unified, understand? Not in samadhi. It's with a lot of hindrance, eating a lot, understand? It's very heedless. So because of that, you need to develop heedfulness. Heedfulness is without heedlessness, without the five mental hindrance. During the early days in India, when they go into Apana Samadhi, all these five hindrance is subdued, understand? Subdued means what? Suppressed, but not rooted out, understand? That's why when they grow old, when they lose their concentration, they suffer. Their Sakkaya Ditti self-delusion is still there. Avijja is still there. Understand? So, if you use energy field concentration, you can also subdue them all. Understand? That's why when you go into samadhi, if you don't develop the samadhi, the right samadhi, it will enter Michcha Samadhi. Then you will do all this Apana Samadhi. Understand? Then you get trapped. Then you subdue, actually you suppress them all. This latent tendency, Anusaya or Asava, they are still inside your mind. Understand? Not rooted out yet. That's why no amount of samatha bhavana can bring about enlightenment. Unless you know how to release this apana samadhi out into normal excess concentration or upachara samadhi state. Then develop the daily mindfulness, cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness to develop the wisdom, to insight into phenomena. You cannot liberate your mind. Understand? So this part clear? Yeah. So if you look at this spiritual faculty, the order of cultivation is to strengthen your faith. That's why you chant. Yeah? Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. So that you renew your faith. Then you take refuge, understand? Cultivate affinity with the triple gem. Then you renew your five precepts to overcome some of these hindrance. Because when you keep your precept, you got less problem. Less problem means what? Less fear, less worry, less anxiety. Correct? So less hindrance, understand? Then through sati, you develop the silent mind to be more and more aware, less and less thought, so that you are not heedlessly lost in thought anymore, so that you are more and more peaceful, more and more silent, more and more heedful, so that you can see things as they are clearly. So when sati is developed, mindfulness is developed until it's very stable, until it becomes upachara samadhi. Understand? Kanika samadhi is not enough. Even you can have moment-to-moment awareness in a retreat. But when you come out to daily life, you cannot maintain. Understand? Then you still cannot do sati sampajana. Understand? The daily mindfulness. You are still not stable enough. Means what? Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, or think of something, your mind can still waver, understand not? Especially something that hurts you, understand not? Or hit the nail on the head, understand not? You got certain views and opinion, or you got certain thing that you don't like, and people press the button, I tell you, it triggers, like they step on your toe, understand not? Or your tail. Then straight away you react, understand not? Now, that's how, because your mind is not collected and unwavering. It's only moment to moment, some form of collectedness, but not unwavering yet, not stable. That's why you cannot develop vipassana. Vipassana is to see things as they are. So now we come to Vipassana Bhavana. Vipassana got two words. The first word is we. What is we? We is what? The meaning. Three characteristics of? The three characteristics of nature. Universal characteristics. Three universal characteristics. Universal characteristics of nature. Anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. So impermanent, leading to suffering, and non-self or empty nature. Whereas the word pasana is what? Pasana. This is meaning is insight into. Understand? Insight into. Insight into the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. This is how you develop wisdom. Understand? So, Vipassana Bhavana is a type of meditation that will enable you to insight into the characteristics of nature. And to do that, you need the silent mind. Silent mind that has sati and samadhi. Means, throughout the day, in your daily life, when you develop this daily mindfulness, your mind is very stable because it's always in sati. And sati, there are two types. For those who are not from our Thursday class and Tuesday class, I think you don't know. There are two types of sati. The first type is without a center. It's just aware. Spacious awareness. You understand? You just silence your mind. Then the awareness, your true mind, is like one with everything. Then you can be aware of everything. Then even in the midst of daily life, the spacious awareness can be there. But because you have to live life, you have to arise the second one. The second one is specific, phenomenal awareness. Means your mind and that specific phenomena is one. Let's say, if you want to be with your physical phenomena, your body and your physical mind, your physical body and your mind, they move as one. That is phenomenal awareness, specific awareness. Like you walk, you just body and mind as one. When you develop anapanasati, mind and the breath as one. This is specific awareness. Whereas the other one, spacious, is a general awareness. You just silent. All of your senses are open. Then whatever that arise, that awareness or that mindfulness can detect it. In a retreat or in the middle of the night, quiet moment, this spacious awareness can be realized. Then when you are in the midst of cultivating daily mindfulness, you have already developed this sati so stable, this spacious awareness will be there all the time. That's why as you walk or move, this awareness is general, spacious, just aware. Then all of the phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, they will flow by, and your mind will detect them through the specific awareness. Specific phenomenal awareness. That's why your mind can be with the moment, with everything that arises, whether it's a moving car, or nature's phenomena, the wind, the breeze, the branches, the leaf, and all those things, the sway. Any movement, or even without movement, any perception, any phenomena, you can be with it. The awareness can be with it. Then the way of living is different. It's fully aware, heedful. Aware, perceive, it doesn't think anymore. It need to recall memory, like where your office is or how to go home, then it will know, then it will just move. Spontaneously, it will move. Understand? There is no more chattering like before. So these two types of awareness you have to develop until very stable. Then when sati and samadhi is there, because there is samadhi, is collected and unwavering, every moment of sense experience, this mind doesn't waver anymore. Understand? That's why it can stay silent, calm, peaceful, and see things as they are without thought. Then it will awaken to the truth and the reality. That's why it can insight into phenomena. That's why here, the spiritual faculty, the Buddha said, when sati stabilized until samadhi also very stable, wisdom will definitely arise. It keep on arising. And wisdom is the basis of enlightenment, the insight knowledges that will allow you to understand things very clearly, straighten your view, no more wrong view, no more self-delusion, no more sakkayaditti, no more avijja, understand? The whole of dependent origination is understood. He no you, he no me. Understand? Five aggregate of form and mind is condition arising, cause of phenomena. Not a human being, not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. All this you will come to know, even the mental five aggregate of form and mind. Then you will witness all the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, the three evil roots, the five hindrances of mind, the seven factors of enlightenment, everything you will see inside your meditation, within this form and mind, how they arise, how they lead to heedfulness from sati. If you use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, then it becomes heedfulness, apamada. This will bring us to another part. Sometimes when you have mindfulness, you are not heedful, understand? Mindfulness is awareness, silent mind. Those who do Tai Chi, yoga, or even Qigong, everything, when they are doing those movements, understand? They have a lot of mindfulness, understand? But they use it for something else, understand? To develop yoga, to develop Tan Tian energy, everything, understand? Or to develop the Tai Chi Quan movement, understand? For self-defense or whatever. So if you use it for those purpose, then it's not samasati, understand? It's sati, but it's not samasati. Samasati is to use it to cultivate wisdom, to liberate your mind. And according to the Buddha, if you go through the essence of his teaching, he teaches the Four Noble Truths, correct? Right? Yeah? Within this Four Noble Truths, which is the meditation? Which one is the meditation? First one talk about suffering, isn't it? It's not the meditation. Second noble truth talk about the cause of its arising, also not the meditation, isn't it? And the third noble truth says suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Understand? That's why Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. It's only the fourth meditation, the fourth noble truth, he said. There is a Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment. Correct? So that's why this is the meditation. And this is the only way. That's why within Noble Eightfold Path, you got Samasati. Remember? This is where the four foundation of mindfulness is. Understand? That's why within the four foundation of mindfulness, when you do Dhamma Nupassana, the last foundation, there are five categories of practices. You develop mindfulness on the five hindrances, the five aggregate of form and mind, the six internal sense bases, the six external sense bases, to understand how the five aggregate of form and mind actually create consciousness, and how the dependent origination come to be. Then after that, the seven factors of enlightenment come to be. You develop the mindfulness on the seven factors of enlightenment. And then only you go into the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. Finally, you come back to the Four Noble Truths. Understand? That's why the Four Noble Truths, the last one is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Understand? You can develop all of your fantastic concentration and apana samadhi, all the psychic ability. Then even if after you finish your four foundation of mindfulness, if you don't complete the balance of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, you are still not a real noble one. You don't have the correct right view with regards to what life and existence is all about. Then you don't have the what they call noble speeches, noble action and noble thought. means the way you live your life as a human being, as a living being. You are not refined because you don't have right view to condition the right thought. The noble ones or the enlightened ones, they are very noble in their understanding of life. In the way they arise their thought, in the way they arise their speech, in the way they communicate with people, and in the way they act and live, that they constantly have the right effort to constantly purify all of their wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. Yeah. Then they constantly arise the right effort to improve, refine upon whatever goodness that they have. Then they have samasati, samasamadhi, leading to the complete noble eightfold path factor being cultivated. Yeah. So this will summarize what you need to understand, yeah, as the overall teaching. Yeah. To develop the meditation as taught, yeah, by the Buddha. Then there is one more part. Yeah. Don't go and separate these two. No. These two is actually one. No. Understand? No. Samatha Vipassana is actually one. You remember Ajahn Chah said? It's like a stick, a pole. Huh? They have two ends, correct or not? Correct or not? When you leave this, these two will follow you, understand? So this one is like samatha. This end is like vipassana, understand? Because this act as one, understand? That's why without sati leading to samadhi, which is upachara samadhi, which is also a samatha meditation or samatha bhavana, you cannot actually cultivate noble eightfold path. Understand? That's why sati is required. And sati leading to heedfulness is what you need to have. And when you have sati cultivated and stabilized, samadhi is the result, outcome. And samadhi is only needed initially, understand? So that this mind is collected and unwavering, is not disturbed when it experiences a sense object, understand? Or sense experience. When you see something, hear something, or think of something, the mind is collected and unwavering. Because during this time, you don't have wisdom yet, understand? You don't have equanimity yet, because wisdom is not there to support you. So initially, you need to silence your mind and stabilize the sati until it becomes samadhi, that every moment of life experience, while you go through life and live life, no matter what type of people you encounter, how difficult, how disturbing, or how unfriendly that person or life situation is, you can maintain this collectedness of mind, and your mind is unwavering. And then you can see things as they are. You can see how your mind stir and get itself entangled. Understand that? Initially. This is how you develop wisdom. That's why under the Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of cultivation is to be mindful of the hindrance of mind. Remember that? That's why you must be aware. When they are still there, you need to be aware. Means you have not rooted them out. Means your spiritual faculty are not strong, not stable enough. That's why you have to train until this one become balas, power, unshakable spiritual faculties. You heard of balas? Eh? When these five become unshakable, so stable, it becomes powers, the five powers. That's why in the 37 factors of enlightenment, these five spiritual faculty is repeated as a pair. Understand? It occupied 10 out of 37. And this sati is repeated everywhere. Noble Eightfold Path, the seven factors of enlightenment. Without sati, you cannot start. Without sati, you cannot be heedful. Correct? And without heedfulness, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Understand? You cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot cultivate samasati. Understand? And you cannot develop the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why without sati, you are as if dead. You are heedless. That's why everything starts with sati. That's why all of meditation, you train yourself to develop sati. And to develop sati is to silence this heedless mind. Asana. As long as you are silent, you don't think. Awareness is already there. The reason why you are not aware is you are lost in thought, preoccupied with this hindrance. Your mind, very, very, what they call busy. Understand? Heedlessly entangling itself. Because everything you come to perceive, you give meaning. There's an essential desire, you will keep on arising. Then your state of mind make you sleepy, lethargic, tired, and all those things. Because you are not what they call trained. Your spiritual faculties are not strong. Then without sati, you constantly restless, lost in thought. A lot of problem. You think a lot, you worry a lot. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. That's why you never leave, because you don't have sati and samadhi. Then you don't have wisdom. That's why you keep on entangling yourself in life. Every moment, every instant, you cannot understand what is going on. You complain. Then you judge people, but you never judge yourself. You say, why this guy like that? Why he like that? Not sensitive and all those things. So you check. Your own mind chatter so much. This is not the way to live life. You ask yourself, is that the way to live life? Throughout the day, thinking, planning, worrying, chasing after this, chasing after that, one thing this, one thing that, trying to do so many things, you got so much unfinished business and problem to look into. You worry about so much thing in life. You not only worry about your own health, your own financial position, you worry about your job, your business, your relationship with your loved one. You worry about your children. Then later, even your grandchildren, you also worry. Then there are so much things. Your property, your wealth, all you worry. Even your car. Busy having to keep that car going. Every time got problem, say, I got to send the workshop again. First thing you think is money. Then after that, you complain, why this car like that one? Stupid car. Sure, after you use so long, you never maintain. Sure, become like that. But if you really take care and maintain, it will last you for a while. But no matter how good, there is a time span. So you need to change. You have the means, you change. Then you don't have to complain. Like this body, take care while you can. But don't attach, don't cling. And then use it. Use it with understanding. Then you don't have to worry about it. Then it is a beautiful vehicle and a tool. The mind is your tool to live life. For you to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So that you live moment to moment. With clarity of mind, with peace, with heedfulness. Without all this agitation. Without having to worry about life, every day also so kanchong, chasing after this, chasing after that, scolding your children, yelling at your loved one, complaining here and there. Is that life? That is really, really suffering. Constantly arising all the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and so on. Sometimes no mood to eat also. At night, want to sleep, also cannot sleep. Depression. Then they call what? Cannot sleep is insomnia. They say, take sleeping pill, also cannot sleep. I have a few of this, what they call suffering people, who came to my meditation. They don't know me one. They were introduced and they come. Then they tell me, he said, "Brother, I got something to really, really consult you." I say, "What is it?" Then he described how his depression and all things. So I say, "You must have seen psychiatrists." He said, "Yeah, many." He said, take until the maximum also no effect, is it? Is it the way it torments them, is it? Really terrible, is it? The anti-depression pill, the sleeping pill, take also cannot sleep, is it? At the most, half an hour or 1 hour after that, wide awake, is it? It's agony, you know, inside there, is it? And the thought, suicidal, is it? Might as well die. How come they end up like that? You ask yourself. Yeah? I always give this analogy. It's only a thought. How come it has such great power to make living beings so miserable? Yeah. So if you don't meditate, you cannot understand. That's why delusion, heedlessness, is as if dead. Very dangerous. Spiritually, you are dead. Okay? So I think with this, I will end my talk. Then if you got any question, you can ask. Then we can go through together. Okay?
Excuse me, Brother Teo. I just want to ask, regarding this, between vipassana and samadhi, so for the samadhi, do you think to be enlightened, does it has to go through all the jhanas, or is it just a byproduct
okay.
of the?
Yeah, very good question. One thing I can assure you is, with all the jhana, you still may not be enlightened. Okay, so that question answer itself. Understand? The Buddha actually no need to develop all the jhanas, but he developed all the jhana, he's still not enlightened. So he became enlightened not because of the jhana. Understand? So the answer is very simple. You don't have to. Because these are absorption meditation. You know what is absorption or not? When you went into this jhana state, the energy field is so strong, your head is fully in concentration. One point, and the energy field is so strong. Everything killed into one point. Understand? They say no thought. Understand? Who say no thought? The thought that is in one pointedness say no thought. That's why no thought is still a thought inside there, because this thought is held together by energy field until the brain cannot think. Understand not? That's why it subdues the five hindrances, all subdues. You are like very calm, very peaceful, like enlightened. But it's a conditioned state, I always say. Understand not? And conditioned state is not a free mind. Understand not? So, like a glass of water. If you don't shake it, don't stir it, the dust will settle down, like clear. Understand? That's why they also have a lot of clarity. But their mind is not agile. Understand? Their mind is not free. Understand? Their mind is in concentration. It's a conditioned state. They are very calm, very peaceful, no hindrance. Correct? Because all subdued, suppressed. Understand? And they have clarity. But they cannot be a free mind. Understand? That's why if the hindrance cannot come out, the evil root cannot come out, you cannot know the truth. Understand? You cannot know how the evil roots are the roots of all evil, how they make you evil. You cannot see them. Understand? They're all suppressed. And the hindrance also suppressed. And you don't even know that there are hindrances. Understand? Because your mind is in that conditioned state of apana samadhi. But when you grow old, then you lose your ability to develop this concentration. Then they will become miserable again. Then they realize suddenly they lost the ability to maintain that samadhi. Then without that samadhi, they have to confront old age, sickness and death. They have to confront the hindrance again. That's why some of them become miserable. Like Devadatta, remember? He lost his psychic after he tried to kill the Buddha. But he actually injured the Buddha. Then after that, he lost his psychic ability. And his ability to enter jhana. That's why he became miserable. Then when he was about to die, he wanted to see the Buddha to ask for forgiveness. The law of karma is so powerful, he can't even reach the Buddha. According to the scripture, you can read. I think the ground opened up. Even Jinja also same. And they got swallowed. So the answer is you don't need. But nowadays you have to be careful. Now they talk about two types of jhana. One is absorption one. The other one is wisdom one. You heard of it or not? Wisdom jhana. They are two school of thought. They say wisdom jhana, you go through awareness one. Then he say you can go through all the eight jhanas. So to them, the eight jhanas through awareness, what they are trying to tell you is, you can also, when you are in sati, vitaka vichara is gone, correct or not? When you are just aware. So you enter the first jhana, but not energy field one, understand or not? The mind state in samadhi, which is under upachara samadhi. You can experience all this. Piti, sukha, of course, ekagata will not arise because you never concentrate, you never focus, understand or not? So, piti and sukha, you will experience. Then, because you know their nature, their condition arising, they will come and they will go, and they will disappear. Then you stabilize. Then they say this is second jhana. Then after that, this one, sukha also no more, they call third jhana. Then fourth jhana, they don't go into ekagata. They go into upeka, equanimity. They say the mind, non-reactive. Fourth jhana. Then fifth jhana is, he say, you aware of infinite space. Then when you can stay with that consciousness, you fifth jhana. That one is no energy field one. So they say, Sariputta actually experienced those. That is how they interpret. But it's up to you. Because what is important is the Buddha never actually bring out all these things. This was from the commentary, the Hindu practice. The Buddha only teach five spiritual faculties, seven factors of enlightenment, noble evil power. Very simple. And the Buddha never say sama samadhi is sama jhana. He might as well put the word jhana there, understand? Why did he choose a different word? Samadhi. Samadhi is unification of mind, collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. But there are three types of samadhi, which you will go through as you develop the silent mind. When you do nothing, initially, it becomes like moment to moment, but it's not really a continuous thing yet. Understand? That's why this one not stable. In the retreat, maybe you slow everything down, you like become very calm, very mindful, according to what you think. Understand? Actually, there is still a lot of verbalization. Understand? There is still a lot of concept and noting inside there. Understand? Not until you can stabilize that mindfulness, until everything is like a flow. No words. Nothing. Then body and mind as one, phenomena and mind as one. And then you enter upachara samadhi. And then that one you can carry out into daily life. You don't have to slow things down. At normal speed, you can be aware. Because the moment you are silent, no matter how fast the fan speed is, the awareness is there. It can be with it, be with the moment. Then even the TV screen, I remember last time I tested it 20, 30 years ago. I was looking at it, silent. The movement was so fast now, the pixel inside that, like lightning speed now. And yet the awareness is with it. It's like everything slowed down, it's a flow inside there. Then there is no perception, nothing, it's just aware. So when you develop the meditation with understanding, all this you will come to understand. The form and mind will come to understand. Then that nature that has the direct seeing through the sati, you will understand. You will see things as they are, without words, without thought, without concept. Then it will awaken. And then, of course, it uses word to communicate, to express. Understand? Otherwise, you no need to say anything. The being, no need to say anything. It understands. It doesn't need words. Word is for communication, expression, to conceptualize it for you to have an idea of what this thing is. This idea is not the truth, not the reality. Okay? Any more questions?
Brother Teo. Thank you for the very enlightening talk. Now, my question is, most of us here are 99% lay people, I should say. Yeah. So we are falling onto this category of this heedlessness.
Yes.
Category.
Yes.
How it, there's a lot of very good methods that you taught here. No?
Yes, yes.
For those monk, maybe Sangha, their practice,
yeah,
they can reach that level. You know? For us, how can you explain and help
okay.
us?
Yeah, can. I think your question is very relevant. Like I said, I used to answer this in a very straightforward manner. It's not whether you are a lay person or whether you are the Sangha, understand not? It's you as an individual, understand not? If you have the will to develop this, your spiritual faculty can be developed, understand not? It is just an excuse that, oh, as a lay person, I got no time, understand not? Remember last time I came and gave a talk on what they call understanding life. Yeah? Because you look at the physical form and mind. Then when you're very young, you got a lot of time, a lot of energy, you got no money. Then as you grow up, you go and work. You got a lot of money because you work, you make money. You got no time because you work. You still got energy that time. You can really work. Then you say, after I retire only, I enjoy life. Understand not? Then when you retire, you got a lot of time, correct not? A lot of money, no more energy. Then you complain. I should have enjoyed my life when I was young. Now meditation, same. No time, now too busy, I need to work every day, 9 to. Who say need to work cannot meditate? The Buddha already explained domain of meditation. Meditation can be done in any posture, any time, anywhere. Understand? To develop spiritual faculty, do you need to be a monk? You don't need, is it? The faith in the Buddha and his teaching is through your own reflection and contemplation. You are serious about life. Like what happened to me? I also a lay person. I married. I got children. Yet I cultivate full-time, non-stop. And it can be done. So never allow yourself to allow the thought to create the excuse for you to be heedless. Understand? Because a lot of people listen to the thought and allow the thought to justify. When I retire, I go full time. Or say, I cannot retire, still not enough money. I still need to work. My children still need to depend on me. Last time I said they need me to fund their education. After they come back, married already, they still depend on me. They need me to pay the first deposit of their first home, otherwise they cannot afford all these things. And then after that, your grandchildren also depend on you. Then where does it end? Life is to be understood. Life is to be developed through understanding and live. Understand? So if you give priority to life, then your focus is different. To me, if I don't understand life, I would rather not live. I would not come. If I want to come, I come with understanding of life so that I know how to live. So that my life is so different. Like in the retreat, I think Brother Day went. Those who went, they know. In the retreat, you will experience that big difference between heedful living and heedless living. The one who is heedful, they are so peaceful, so mindful and aware, so relaxed. Understand? No need to worry about anything. Understand? But how come when you come back to your daily life, your worry start, your thoughts start, all of the things that you go about doing, the routine start. Then the memory, everything start to come and haunt you again. Then your fear, your worry, your anxiety start to manifest again. Why must it be that way? Because you don't understand life. You allow that thought to actually heedlessly create through your self-delusion, through your ignorance. Then you grasp and cling. Then you give meaning to so many things. Then you project your own fear, your own worry, your own anxiety. You project into the future. You recall the unhappy past, the scars of memory. Then you never leave. You never with the moment to understand the reality. To be with the moment at peace with everything. Life is life. There is no problem in life if you understand. You only have to perceive everything as the way it is. Understanding the reality, what is. Don't try to create the opposite. Wanting things your way. Not able to accept the reality of the moment. And that is the cause of suffering, the Buddha said. Asana. So cultivation is very simple, like the Buddha taught us. To cultivate the five spiritual faculties, this one. You can do it through your puja, anasana, pre-puja. Every morning have a religious routine. When you wake up, pay respect, develop the chanting, then salutation to the Buddha, or whatever bodhisattva that you have affinity with. Then you take refuge. Then you renew your five precepts. Then you meditate. You train your mind in sati. As you pay respect, you develop sati. As you calm and compose your mind to develop the faith, you develop what they call sadha. Then from there, you reflect and contemplate on the great virtue of Lord Buddha, the nine great virtue, and how wonderful his teaching is. Then you determine strongly to cultivate virya. Virya, spiritual zeal. So once you have these two, then you silence your mind and develop mindfulness through your bowing, walking, standing, all of your four posture. Then after that daily life, you connect all the movement. Try to be aware. Just silence your mind and you will be aware. But initially, if the hindrances are too strong, you only need to develop the spiritual faculty to counter them. Anasana. Then if you really want to meditate, then you have to decondition this heedless thinking. Then you apply the skillful means that I taught you all. That book, not everybody has the book. The 12th of September transcript, the meditation. I think only those who came for the Thursday class, they got the book. You have to do the mind sweeping method combined with metta. Because from the forehead down, you know how to do it, combined with metta. You just feel your forehead, silence everything. Feel, relax. Then you move to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then facial muscle, do the same. Then you radiate love and metta to develop the wholesome mind, the inner peace, leading to the inner well-being. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within, then silent. Have more and more moment of silence. Then as you develop this, then you feel. Don't think, feel. Then you relax. Feel, relax. As you sweep through your whole body, you actually decondition this heedless thinking. You got no chance to think anymore. Now you just feel. Any tension, any tightness, any stress within, just relax it. Feel and relax, no thought. So if you do this long enough, you become very calm, very peaceful. And when you become very calm, very peaceful, sati will start to develop. And then when sati starts to develop, you anchor it to a object of meditation. Either anapanasati or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. Then finally, when your breathing or whatever mindfulness of the object meditation become very subtle, then don't go and do sitting touching. Just silence your mind. Then stay silent. Then if you can, you move it to your heart and feel. Just aware. And then see what happens. A lot of things will happen. Then you will develop the stability of mindfulness. Your mind will enter sati. When your mind enters sati, you technically don't need the object of meditation anymore to become mindful. The object of meditation is just a skillful means to anchor your mind so that it does not heedlessly wander off. Understand? That's why anapanasati is aware of the in and out breath. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Understand? So that you train this mind to be aware. So that this heedless habitual thinking reaction doesn't happen anymore. Understand? That's why after some period of training, sati stabilizes. Then it becomes initially kanika samadhi. Then when it stabilizes until continuous, no thought, then upachara samadhi. Then when you have continuous mindfulness, this can enter absorption actually to go into apana. You can experience it. During the early day, I did it. I went into it. And I can shut off my sense door. Understand? This hearing consciousness, I can shut it off when I go into absorptions. This energy field can shut off. That's why you cannot hear anything. Like complete, they call citta vivika. You heard of these three things? Kaya vivika. Huh? You know what is vivika? Huh? Renunciation. Huh? Or seclusion. Huh? Kaya vivika is physical seclusion. Means you seclude as a monk. Huh? You enter the monkhood. You actually renounce the world. Understand? So physical renunciation or seclusion means you give up everything. Understand? Your wealth, your property, your religion, whatever. Then you renounce. Then after that, you seclude your mind. You go into what they call apana samadhi. Means you go into concentration or one-pointedness or absorption. Means you seclude that mind. Mental renunciation. The mind doesn't come out of the world. Understand? That's why it's very peaceful inside. Understand? So this is called mental seclusion. Citta vivika. Understand? So the first type of peace comes from renunciation of the physical thing. Understand? So that type of peace is dependent on environment. Understand? If the environment is peaceful, the setting is peaceful, then you are peaceful. Understand? Where physically, you are conditioned by the environment. So after you renounce all of the what they call restless or what they call very fast-moving activity of the world, you become a monk. You become more peaceful. You go to a secluded place, a monastery, very conducive. Everybody keep the precept. So this physical renunciation or seclusion will bring about a type of peace that will enable you to cultivate much easily. Then you develop seclusion of mind. You go inside. When the mind dwells inside and does not come out, it's very peaceful. But this one cannot live life. You trap inside, it's energy field, it's a conditioned state. And then you enter apana samadhi. But the Buddha say, the most important peace is the third type of peace, born of wisdom. Not through secluding yourself or anything. They call it upadhi viveka. That one is insight, meditation, vipassana. When you awaken, when you realize the truth, when you are no longer deluded, you actually have the ability to free your mind. Then that type of peace, you can live life anywhere, any place, any time. You are always at peace, no matter what happened to the world. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. You are always at peace with the world because you know this form of mind is not you. Everything is conditioned, arising, causal phenomena, empty, no reality. They follow nature's law. Then you know, most important law is law of karma. Then after that, the dependent origination, law of the mind. You know how your mind works and functions. Then how to use it to develop the appropriate good mind, wholesome mind, so that you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, you good. Then you purify this mind until it becomes enlightened. And this is how you train and live life. So as a lay person, it can be done. asana. So what you need to develop is sada virya leading to sati. Then train. Do the mind sweeping method. Decondition the heedless thinking. Then develop the spiritual faculty of sati. And when sati stabilize, samadhi come about, you see things as they are. You are very heedful, very peaceful, very calm. And throughout the day, you will have the upachara samadhi with you. And you don't need to think like before. Your mind is so different. Most of the time, it's just aware and heedful. And it seldom really need to think. Even as I speak and share this whole 2 hours, I never think actually. I got recall memory. Those are the words that I need to use. But because I'm very familiar, it has become a part of me. But I don't have to think. If I have to think, I cannot share. Well, all this come out from an understanding that is within the nature. Okay? So, I hope I answer your question. No problem. So, as a lay person, don't be discouraged. I do understand sometimes you become gullible. You always hear people say, sometimes they're very convincing one. No? During the early days, I remember when I was in Brickfield, they used to tell me, for us lay person, no chance one. I say, don't go and dream. He say, why? He say, monk full time also cannot. Oh, convincing or not? Huh? Monk full time also cannot. What is your chance? Is it? What is a monk? It's not the one with the robe alone. It's a monk. It's the one that has the determination to train their mind. That is the true monk. The monk is in you if you have the determination to cultivate the spiritual faculty and to develop the meditation. Yet meditation can be cultivated in the midst of life. And meditation, like the Buddha explained, any living being, as long as you have a mind and a body, you can develop the understanding. And for human beings, it's easier because we live in a world where there is suffering. There are the two extremes. There is suffering and bliss. Well, our human mind is very, very different, very unique. It can be developed until it becomes a samasambuddha, anasana, fully enlightened one, one extreme. If heedless, it can go to the other extreme, avijihel, anasana. So all this is what the human mind is all about. So our rhyme is very special. And they call it the happy rhyme, you know. Kama loka sukati. Sukati is the happy rhyme. Kama is sensual rhyme. Ours is considered as a happy rhyme. The other four are willful rhyme. The demons. Then you have the, what they call, petas. Animal, then peta. Then you have the hell beings. These are the four they call kama, loka, dukkati, suffering rhyme. Those rhyme, they really suffer. Even the demons, a lot of anger, they suffer a lot. Animal is delusion. The hungry ghost, the peta, they are full of greed and delusion. And hell rhyme, all the three they have. Greed, hatred, and delusion.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Teo, Salu, for sharing with us the Dharma knowledge. And usually, other than this Uncle Vijaya, he's one of those speakers that draws the crowd. So anyway, in appreciation for your kind sharing with us, we'd like to extend to you a token of appreciation. Sadhu. Okay, Brother Teo would like to donate to the society. Sadhu. And before we end this session, as usual, let us transfer merits to our departed relatives and sharing it with the Devas. And after that, before you go back, please help yourself to some refreshments outside. Okay.
Okay, we will do the sharing of merits to the Devas in Pali. Then after that, transfer merits to the departed one. Then you make your aspiration. Okay. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakan tu loka sasana ita watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.